but it's always time to go exploring. Welcome to Outdoor Pursuits with yours truly, Jade Quinn McDonald. We are broadcasting from Vancouver campus, UBC, on the unceded ancestral traditional lands of the Halkomelem-speaking Musqueam people. I'm here with a guest today, Rory.
Howdy.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Little bit of a change of plans with our live studio out, but hopefully this is hitting your airwaves just as nicely. So Rory, you're here today because you're a free man. A free man. Rory.
A free mind.
Yeah. Rory's involved with the North Shore Telemark group here. Kind of, is it still unofficial? Or is it getting pretty official?
It's getting more official. It's more official every year.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So how'd you first get involved?
So I moved out here in 2021, one of many Ontario transplants during that time. And I started Telemark skiing on the East Coast and kind of by myself. Like, I just kind of got into it on my own. And then I got out here and I started a Facebook group to try and like meet like-minded, I guess, free healers or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of snowballed. So just, you know, you meet people on the lift line and stuff like that. And I got hooked up with kind of a pre-existing group. And I was really fortunate to kind of airdrop into an already thriving Telemark community. And that's kind of a rare thing. Like, it's a pretty esoteric thing to get into. There's a lot of barriers to entry, both in terms of gear, equipment, knowledge, and such, and just general exposure. And I basically managed to link up with some people who already had some stuff going, and then since then it's kind of snowballed into what is a pretty full events calendar for an entire season. So I feel pretty fortunate to have been able to kind of get involved in something that was it was already primed for a lot of organic growth. And now, yeah, we're rolling. Things are happening.
Incredible. Yeah. So North Shore, what does that constitute geographically?
Yeah, it's kind of a more of a figurative description rather than literal. It's like loosely the North Shore Mountains, so Cypress and Grouse and Seymour, but we also have, I guess, events and representation all the way up to the Sea to Sky, up to Whistler and stuff like that. So,
sweet. Is there a group specifically for the Sea to Sky, or is North Shore is it?
No. So our, I guess, unofficial president, Tom, moved to Squamish like 2 years ago. So technically,
gotcha.
He's our Sea to Sky contingent. But okay. For the most part, it's a lot of local folks. There's even some people coming over from like Bowen Island and stuff like that too. So it's really snowballed a little bit. It's kind of, I think we're kind of becoming like the hub in the area for the Telemark community. There's a couple of other people here and there, who are, you know, kind of lone rangers and doing their own thing, but, it's definitely kind of, we're becoming a bit of, like I said, economies of scale. Like it's a bit of a snowball effect and people are starting to get involved. So it's nice.
That's awesome. And sorry, in what capacity are you involved?
Yeah, so I guess like we don't really have official titles and stuff, but I'm one of the, I guess, unofficial kind of events media guys,
nice.
So to speak. So it's pretty loosey-goosey right now. Basically, I run the Facebook page and the season calendar. And then our unofficial president, Tom, runs the Instagram page. And then essentially we also have Roger, who's really involved in events and promotion and stuff like that too. And in between the three of us, we kind of just like manage the events and calendar and engagement and stuff like that too. Honestly, like there aren't really formal roles, but I expect that if we keep growing at the current rate, like we've only been a thing for a couple of seasons now in a kind of more official capacity. But I'm hoping to scale and add some, you know, kind of rigor and process and roles and stuff to our organization over time as we see fit.
Awesome. Yeah. What do you do when you're not Telemark skiing?
Mountain biking and
nice.
Stuff. You know,
yeah.
A lot of like North Shore type of things, you know.
Toe the line. Totally. So when you say events calendar, I saw on the Facebook there's like an actual link to subscribe to an events calendar. but it was a beta version. Is that like, how's that been going for a long time?
No, I said, actually, I did a podcast 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and the host suggested you guys have a calendar. I was like, oh yeah, okay, sure.
No,
so I set it up like 2 weeks ago. But I mean, in terms of the other events, like we have been managing that through Instagram and Facebook, which has been successful up until now.
Nice.
But we're just trying to formalize it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, I guess now that we're trying to get that to be like a thing year over year, we're going to have a little bit more kind of, I guess, booked off dates annually for certain events and stuff like that. So the last 2 years we've had film nights, and then we have a kind of season ender sort of thing. We have a World Telemark Day Closer, which is the first weekend in March. And then we've got various events, like weekly events, like Telemark Tuesdays going on. We've got full moon skins and stuff where we go explore the backcountry with headlamps and instructor courses and a whole bunch of stuff. So, yeah, maybe an eye calendar was warranted at this point.
That's incredible. So did you kind of witness this thing from the ground up? Like...
Yeah, so I don't know about the ground up. Like, I'm a new arrival sort of thing, you know? But people have been doing this stuff. I guess, like, the first iteration of this North Shore Telemark group would have dated back to the 80s. So the two Robs, Rob Van Eggman and Rob Mitchell, mm-hmm. Kind of got a group of people together. And, yeah, so they've been kind of informally doing Telemark stuff for a long time. And I think we just kind of combined forces, and now things are being a little bit more formalized. We're also, like, I guess, kind of part of, I guess, a bit of a Telemark resurgence, which is interesting.
Yeah. I feel it too, I think.
And, yeah, nice. Like, there's a bit of a wave going on.
Yeah.
And I don't think we can point our finger at anything in particular, but I think there's a bit of a generational changeover. There's a lot of new gear and equipment,
mm-hmm.
and people are just looking to change things up and experience something new. And it is really fun. And in this, you know, it's partially very core. Like I said, it's really hard to get into and stuff, but it's also, you know, skiing in and of itself is kind of an absurd pursuit. And this is a little bit extra extra absurd.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're down for a steep learning curve and a bit of type 2 fun, like, it's definitely for you.
Yeah. So with these new setups, like, there's the backcountry kind of hybrid, right? Like, where you lock the toe piece in, that kind of thing. Is that, like, are a lot of people rocking that so they can just have the one setup?
Yeah, so, like, even myself, like, I've got a Telemark touring setup,
mm-hmm.
You know, with pin bindings and stuff. There's even, like, Telemark versions of that, so mm-hmm. you can get crazy light, like, almost AT, like, type of weights on your Telemark setup if you want to. I personally don't do that because mm-hmm. I find it really too light, you mm-hmm. know. I'd rather have a bomber setup, but that's just me. I'm not going to yuck your yum.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, basically now it's more like Alpine, where you can just step into stuff, click mm-hmm. in, it's super bomber, it's really solid, like, and it actually makes the learning curve slightly less steep, which is really nice, mm-hmm. which is really nice.
Yeah, I remember my mom signed me up for, like, a preteen Telemark group.
That's wild.
And, yeah, like, it was just a duckbill in with, like, the little leash, you know, the clip-on leash. Do you guys still use
that? Yeah, so to explain to, I guess, the audience, like, we're referring to duckbill, also known as 75mm, like, you kind of have, imagine, like, an Alpine boot, and you know, you have the clicky end bit in the front. Like, imagine that part's even bigger. And then you have what looks like an elastic. It's actually like a wire on springs, which you put around the back heel of your boot and kind of lever on there. And it's actually born from old school, like, Nordic ski bindings and stuff. That was kind of the initial way that they were designed. They had they would pivot around kind of the ball of the foot and then attach around the back of your heel. So for anyone who learned to cross-country ski as a kid on 3-pin bindings, it's basically a pretty similar deal. Yeah, nowadays it's a lot more like Alpine skiing, where you can kind of just click in and you're good to go.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, I mean, I guess removing some barriers to bending over to adjust your bindings.
But, yeah, there's even brakes now. Like,
oh,
it's crazy. It's crazy. The future is now. The future is free heel.
So, spreading the hype, that's a big thing, I'm sure, of the group, This movie coming up. Remind me, November 16th?
Yeah, so we're doing the Canadian premiere of the new Telemark Colorado film, This Old Mill, at Valhalla Pier Squamish on Saturday, November 16th. Doors and raffle are going to be at 6:30, and the film screening is going to be at 7:30. The filmmaker is going to be there. Some of the film stars coming up from Colorado. Oh, there's going to be raffle prizes and stuff like that. So it was really successful last year. And hoping to get a nice big turnout again too. But yeah, so that's pretty exciting because I think this is, I don't know, it kind of speaks to, I guess, the Telemark zeitgeist right now, like that resurgence mm-hmm. where there are young people getting into it and sharing the stoke and just kind of like, I don't know, another Telemark podcast recently compared it to like fourth wave ska. Like it just keeps coming back, and this is, I guess, fourth generation. And yeah, it's kind of like a new attitude, like fresh spin, a lot more park edits and stuff too. A lot of like proper big backcountry lines, like really epic, kind of like Free Ride World Tour type of stuff. Combined with people just having fun and trying to make it like less intimidating and more accessible. So, yeah, this is the second year in a row we've had a brand new telefilm, which is, you know, kind of hasn't happened for the better part of a decade. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, seriously. I know there were like the Powder Horror series. Those are pretty classic.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to laugh at people in the 80s falling on really noodly gear, there's something called the Telemark movie from 1987. And you can see a bunch of people in cross-country gear wearing a bunch of, like, leather and knit stuff going into the backwoods, like, falling on their faces a bunch. And, like, to be honest, like, you know, that's how a lot of people got into it back mm-hmm. in the day. Like, Telemark skiing used to be the only way to access the backcountry, really, before AT gear really took off. So a lot of people our parents' age were former Telemark skiers anyway, until they got onto the newfangled AT gear. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's actually how I got into it too. Like I was a cross country skier growing up and like did backcountry skiing, like cross country skiing, like touring and whatnot. And then that's kind of how I started experimenting a little bit. Doing cross-country ski lessons as a kid, they kind of, it's one of the fundamental things they talk about, but they kind of gloss over it. They say it's kind of like cursive, like it's fancy for its own sake. You can do it if you want to, but we're never really going to talk about it again. And then for whatever reason, I really got invested in it.
That's too good. So was it kind of the appeal of the backcountry that got you into it, or just the fanciful skiing?
Honestly, the fancy part. Yeah. So because I grew up on the East Coast, like, you know, ski hills around Ottawa are not, mm-hmm. you know, out west. You know, it's a bit of a different thing. So I kind of just wanted to make it harder.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, because if you're skiing the East Coast, like a lot of stuff, it's really low elevation. It's not super steep. The snow isn't nearly as variable. It's just, you know, like I get that Mad River Glen's intense and whatever, and ski it if you can, but like it's not kicking horse, you know? So it was really just like to add additional challenge. Mm-hmm. And also it just looks cool and it feels great. Like, but before getting to the feel great part, you're attracted by the looks cool part because it takes a while to get to the feeling great part.
Yeah. The quads, right?
It's humbling at first. At first, I say it's like, you know, if you're in a single speed, you know, mountain biking and stuff like that, like that's, you know, you might find Telemark appealing. It's a little bit harder for its own sake, but it's more rewarding as a result.
So talking a little bit more about North Shore Tele, who's the main demographic?
Yeah, so I'm actively trying to change that. That's my mission. So right now it's a lot of telly dads. Like it's a lot of guys who either never stopped telemarking or got back into it when they had younger kids mm-hmm. and they wanted to, I guess, kind of find another way to enjoy the hill and stuff while still being able to ski with family. And I'm really glad that we've had a lot of, you know, great collaboration with the VOC and stuff to access some kind of, you know, younger tele demographics, the tele curious and whatnot. And yeah, so like, you know, every year we do the VOC's Telemark Day.
Mm-hmm.
And we do, like, last year I think we had almost 50 people. The year before that we had 40. And yeah, so trying to spread it in a way that's like accessible and not intimidating. And, you know, shout out to the VOC for having the biggest collection of 75 millimeter equipment.
Like, yeah, we love that.
Yeah, probably in Western Canada. And the craziest attitude. Like, the VOC is so wild. It's like the right combination of like knowledge and bravery and hubris and ignorance, which allows people to put themselves in like probably pretty, you know, wild situations, but also gives you a crazy good learning attitude. You know, like you're open to new things, which mm-hmm. is really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, all this to say, yes, there's a generational shift going on in Telemark, and I'm trying to promote it and make it more accessible for more people.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, the gear is expensive, just skiing in general is expensive. If you're not exposed to it, you don't even know it exists. It's kind of hard to get into it by yourself. Like mm-hmm. I did that, and it was really challenging to teach myself, and you just have to like have this grind set mentality where you're going to just push through it sort of deal. And then also like representation matters too, you know, like it's a very white space. Like skiing's already pretty white space, but like Telemark especially. And you know, it's pretty awesome coming to Vancouver, which just the ski community is wildly more diverse than it was in Eastern Ontario. But yeah, just like trying to promote it at all different levels and make it more accessible. Cause that's, you know, I don't know, it's certainly not a dying sport, but, you know, combined with the factors of like this generational shift, the lack of exposure, and then frankly, just like lack of accessibility because of overall ski days, because of climate change and stuff like that too. Like the only way to keep stuff like this going is to make it more accessible to more people in the long term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well said. That's sweet. So speaking of accessibility for gear, do you guys facilitate rentals or just kind of point them to VOC?
Yeah. So like, yes and no, like we're not really facilitating rentals ourselves,
mm-hmm.
but right now I guess North Shore Telemark's kind of become this like intermediary connecting different parts of the Telemark community.
Mm-hmm.
So, we work with Valhalla Pure Outfitters in Squamish, who is hosting our movie event on the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to Murray Sovereign, the owner. He's a diehard Tele guy and has all the latest and greatest gear. At the VOC Tele Day last year, he even brought out like a bunch of demos and stuff. So it was a crazy mix. Like the VOC Tele Library is like a museum, you know, and then he showed up with the, you know, the new hotness, but
yeah.
No one really knew what they were on, right?
Because yeah,
they just
totally.
Got what fit. So anyway, all this to say, we facilitate, like, we would try and connect people with Valhalla Pure as much as possible because they're one of the only places locally that offers, tele demos and rentals. And then in terms of, you know, the VOC crowd, you guys have access to a crazy museum of gear already.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
sweet.
Like one of the things we've talked about kind of stretch goal would be talking about like a gear library.
Mm-hmm.
But in between those two resources already, we don't need to, you know, kind of be duplicative in that
yeah,
space.
Right.
It's right now we're trying to create links in between like existing resources and
mm-hmm.
people doing stuff. And then, yeah, maybe more long term, that's something that we might be looking into, you know, space and time provided.
Yeah. Yeah. Arguably the links to what already exists are what we're missing at this point. So,
yeah, we're just trying to connect these disparate parts of the tele community, and like that's what's been kind of wild in my experience is I don't know, like I'm out here, I'm trying to promote it as much as possible,
mm-hmm.
and not only is it kind of, you know, odd to see a younger guy like myself like doing that, but like every time I run into someone on the lift, they're like, whoa, no way, like I had no idea there was like more of us, and I'm like, yeah, there's like 206 people in this Facebook group
mm-hmm.
as of today, like go join it, you know. It's there.
Yeah.
You just gotta find it.
Yeah, no doubt. So you're sporting a Telecolo hat right now. That's that's who did the movie, right?
Yeah,
Telemark,
so
Colorado.
Yeah, Telemark, Colorado. Like shout out to CJ Cochia, who's from Colorado. Actually, he's formerly from Florida, but he lives in Colorado now. And he's doing it right. Like he's trying to make it fun and accessible as much as possible, and just like not just make tele cool, but like make it fun. Mm-hmm. And like kind of poking fun at itself, you know, like I've got a bunch of stickers on my board, mm-hmm. on my Nalgene, which yeah. of course is how all of us outdoor enthusiasts outline our personality. But like to keep telly weird, and like even I don't care that I telly and stuff like that. Like it's just kind of poking fun at it a little bit. Like his big thing is Alpine is dead, which mm-hmm. is hilarious because it's definitely not. But yeah, like, and he's keep making it happen in the space. Like he started it kind of grassroots style, inspired by like skateboard stuff, mm-hmm. and he started making short films and zines, and he has like a kind of a competition where you know, you like do challenges and stuff every year and then submit your edit. Like, and it's crazy how people like that are able to be organic leaders and like change makers in a space, especially when it's like a really kind of like core community. Mm-hmm. So this one guy is just, you know, producing most of the coolest tele content out there right now. It's pretty awesome. And we're really lucky. Shout out to Roger, at Brown Guy on Tellies, go follow him, for making that link and like getting us this premiere for, I guess, the second year in a row. It's crazy.
Yeah. So is this like the worldwide premiere or the Canadian premiere?
Canadian premiere. Okay. Yeah. So they're on tour right now. They premiered it in Denver, I think, mm-hmm. on the 7th or something. But yeah, it's going off. Like, I think they're selling out all the time and whatnot. So there's hype around it for sure.
Yeah. So there's a ticketing system looking at like $11-$12 tickets, or you can opt in for a donation. Where's that money going?
Yeah, so basically right now the tickets I think are $11 and a couple cents or something like that, and that goes back to Telecolo, and okay. then the donation also goes back to Telecolo too, because they're not making any money on this okay, stuff, you yeah. know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're just trying to cover their gas money and yeah, costs totally. To do their tour. And then you can also buy one of the limited edition zines too, which is pretty sweet. I definitely got one. Yeah, and then I think moving forward, when we do more of these events, we're going to try and figure out, like, if we, you know, once we're breaking even on stuff, mm-hmm. Where to put this money, like, back into the community, and then also supporting other communities as well. So, Roger's really involved with the Vancouver Adaptive Ski Society and stuff like that, too. We're kind of involved with PAL and stuff like that as well, who's going to be at the event, and just, like, other kind of local community organizations. Because you don't want to make it tele-exclusive, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's no point in being gatekeepy about it. Like, I think it's, you know, there's already more than enough of that in telemark, and I'm trying to, you know, get rid of that a little bit. But yeah, trying to make it accessible as possible. And then really just, again, like, find those community organic leaders who are doing cool stuff, mm-hmm. and like try and make those connections, not just within Alpine, because there's more than enough connections there, but like within the broader kind of snow sports community.
Yeah, no doubt. Good on ya.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up on kind of a time that I feel like maybe people might want to hear a song. Do you want to introduce us to one of your songs?
Yeah, for sure. So, Brett, the song that I chose is called 4th of July by PAX. I think I chose it because we're recording this right after the results of the American election. Mm-hmm. And some of the lyrics are, I don't know, maybe relatable to, you know, not just Americans, but some of the other folks around the world who are paying attention to that. And it's pretty awesome. Go check out PAX. They're super rad. It was actually like the younger sister of a friend of a friend they went to high school with and stuff. So no, Madeline Link is doing awesome stuff. Go check her out. It's really cool.
Bye. BC Electronica, and we love electronic music such as
Run for them life when I step into the jungle.
We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
Are you interested in playing, watching, or discussing all things cricket? Look no further than UBC's Cricket Club. Reach out to @AMSUBCCricketClub on Instagram to get connected today.
Welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Outdoor Pursuits with Jade and Rory.
Hey-o.
We are back talking about Telemark skiing. Awesome, revitalized, 21st century fun. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the history of telemarking.
Yeah, so I think, like I mentioned before, so telemark skiing is kind of born out of Nordic skiing. So mm-hmm. anyone who's been cross-country skiing before, you're familiar with, like, your toes locked in and your heel is a little bit more mobile. So it's kind of, like, a little bit more, like, classic technique in cross-country skiing. And that was, that type of, the downhill portion of that was born in a place called Telemark, Norway, which is where it got its name.
No kidding.
This guy named Sondre Norheim. Kind of, I guess, invented this technique in the 1800s. And, so it's kind of stuck ever since. But, more broadly speaking, like, skis have been a way for, I guess, Nordic communities worldwide to get around on snow for a really long time. And it's not just limited to Scandinavia, like the technology of, like, having a piece of wood with usually a piece of rope type of thing attaching your foot to it has been around for a long time. There's certainly different variations of those kind of, like, snow transportation devices in a bunch of communities with a long history, including in North America. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you snowshoe, for example, you know how you're, like, only the front of your toe is kind of like the lever. So that technology has been around for a long time, even in North America.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it kind of grew out of Nordic skiing, and it was just the way to access the backcountry. And then over time, the gear kind of got a little bit more robust, just like alpine skiing and mm-hmm. stuff. Moved away from really long straight skis into, like, parabolic stuff with metal edges that was a little bit more robust. But for a long time, it was still, like, what we talked about with that cable kind of attaching mm-hmm. your heel. So it was still, like, fundamentally from a technological perspective, kind of the same thing as it was, like, you know, a long time ago. But then more recently, like, I guess the standard's been out for 10 years, but it's called NTN, New mm-hmm. Telemark Norm, was introduced. And it's, like I said, it's a lot more like alpine skiing where you click in kind of front and back.
Mm-hmm.
It's a step-in binding. It has brakes. So it's kind of like a pretty big departure from where it used to be. There's a bunch of crazy hybrid versions, too, that leverage, like, pins, mm-hmm. like pin bindings like you would see on an AT setup. Some of them are, you know, use the NTN setup. Some of them are combined with the cable. It's kind of wild. Like I said, Telemark attracts tinkerer type people, the type of people who like to build their own bikes and ride single speeds and stuff like that, like a bunch of crafty type of folks. So people are always experimenting and coming up with new stuff and, like, Frankensteining bits of gear together. So that's kind of been the evolution, but now it's at the point where you can keep up with your downhill buddies. And I think that's a big appeal. Like, before, it was kind of like, okay, like let's wait at the bottom and mm-hmm. laugh at this guy as they fall on their face trying to catch up.
Yeah.
But now, like, you know, it not only does it make the learning curve easier, like, it makes it a lot more accessible because you can, like I said, you can keep up with your buddies.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember a friend of mine, he was the only tellier at, like, a group of 10 on this backcountry trip, and he was doing fine. I mean,
right on.
He was definitely falling on his face from time to time, but that, you know, you can't really get away from that.
Completely. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So history a little bit. We're looking at, you know, means of traveling to the backcountry. I guess the appeal today is the fun, the fancy. It's different, trying out new bindings and things like that. Has there been any pushback to this kind of resurgence, like the new Tom Merck norm? Yeah. Are people like, stay away?
That's a great question. So yeah, 100%. You know, like, for some folks, change is hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I actually wrote a piece for the blog Telemark Voices, which will be coming out shortly. And a lot of folks, you know, who've been doing this for a long time felt like they were experiencing like a Telemark mass extinction event, mm-hmm. in the early 2000s, when it went from being the way to get into the backcountry to being really superseded by AT gear. So, yeah, there's, you know, some, they've earned their Telemark identity turn, so mm-hmm. to speak. And yeah, it's change is hard, and people can be a little bit change resistant or a little bit core, a little bit gatekeepy about stuff. So I think it's kind of my personal mission to try and, you know, take that out of the culture a little bit. It's like, okay, we've had our time, we've had our place for that. That's awesome. And I get that that's part of the culture, is we're different. Like, you know, everyone likes that. But yeah, I think we can move past it, and just, like, it's just skiing. You know, it's fun. that's the whole point.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, for sure, it's there. There's always people talk about. There's always a bit of the back in my day sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But that's not unique to Telemark. You know, like, every community has that, especially outdoor sports.
Yeah.
You know, where people have been around for a while, they kind of want to flex their experience a little bit, like. I've experienced that in mountain biking and whitewater paddling. Like, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And yeah, it's part of the, people are passionate, you know, I'm not going to yuck their yum, but you know, we also don't want to preemptively put in those cultural barriers where people feel like it's even more inaccessible than it already is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. So talking a little bit about the events as the unofficial events organizer, the full moon ski was like the Stravadon touring setup and going into the backcountry with headlamps. That seems pretty cool.
Yeah. So shout out to Tom, our unofficial president, for that. Like, he's been doing that for a while, and it's not just tele exclusive, but mm-hmm. every time there's a full moon, they go ski touring. So he's been organizing that on Instagram for a bit. You know, non-tele skiers and dogs welcome.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just tour around on headlamps. Usually it's something local. It's probably Hollyburn, mm-hmm. or maybe up around Seymour somewhere. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's like super fun group of people. Go up the top, maybe have a beer or something like that. Come back down. Super fun. Very chill.
That's
nice,
great.
And slow.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah,
try not to get lost too much.
Yeah, no. Do you know where the idea came from?
I'd have to ask Tom about that. But I think, you know, you just maximize the light. You know, at this time of year, like, it gets dark pretty early, mm-hmm. but, you know, weather permitting, sometimes you don't even need lights because it's so bright out. Like, as long as there isn't too much tree cover, like up in Seymour and stuff, Hollyburn less so, with all the big trees there. But you can ski without a headlamp. It's so bright.
And you're just driving, parking, going straight up.
Yeah, that's usually the plan. Like, it's not, we're not usually doing anything super epic or anything like that. Like, it's usually, like a weekday night or mm-hmm. maybe a weekend if we're lucky. And again, weather permitting, it is mm-hmm. the North Shore, so that's always a consideration.
Yeah. And I assume you've participated a couple times.
Yeah, for sure.
A good handful of times.
Yeah.
How was it?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, super fun time.
Have you had it many times that you don't need a headlamp?
Yeah, occasionally. Yeah. I'd say one out of every three times.
Okay.
And then one out of every three times is also rained out.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. Other than the weather, what type of challenges are there
to
touring in the nighttime?
I mean, usually, like, we're in pretty safe places, you know. But in places like Hollyburn, you can get a little bit turned around. All the big trees kind of mm-hmm. look the same at some point. But it's generally pretty straightforward if you go downhill and stay in between two main drainages.
I like it.
But yeah, like, that's one of the, we do that event. We do a bunch of other ones too. Like, we do like an end of year kind of event as well.
Right.
Usually the last reasonably skiable day at the mm-hmm. end of a season. So last year we did kind of a tailgate at Cypress. The year before that we did one at Seymour. Tom brings his pizza oven and stuff, and we have kind of a bit of a potluck.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Then at Cypress last year, we also skinned up and then had a bonfire at the top. Yeah, there's always stuff going on. Like, there's lots of events and stuff like that, too. Like I mentioned, Telly Tuesdays.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, so that's just a weekly event, meetup at the Olympic Rings at Cyprus. Mm-hmm. And it's just a super casual kind of Telly meetup once a week, same time. If you're interested, go check it out on Facebook or subscribe to the calendar. And yeah, it's just a way for people to kind of connect and stuff. Because like I said, like, these people are usually just surprised that anyone else is doing this stuff and stoked to ski with other people. And it's a great way to learn too. Like, if you're in your own little silo, your own bubble, trying to teach yourself, like, it's easy to develop bad habits, but also just like not get that sense of community and stuff, which is really nice. And you know, like, that's what I had set up Telly Tuesdays for when I moved out here. It was just like finding ways to connect with other people who are also doing something kind of weird.
Yeah, cool. So were you the one who initially reached out to the VOC?
Yeah, so I believe that it might even have been Vanny, who's a VOC alum. And she runs the Telly School. Last year, and before that it was Adam Steele. And yeah, and then connected with us. And then ever since then, I've kind of been coordinating from the North Shore Telemark side. We've got a lot of talent in the group. It's actually wild. Like, I got here as hoping I was just going to be lucky to ski with anyone, and now I ski with people who are very good, like certified level 3 instructors and stuff. It's pretty insane. And yeah, so, you know, there's been ton of interest from the North Shore Telemark side to instruct, to the extent that I have to, like, turn people away and be like, sorry, you're not, you know, qualified enough. Yeah. And you know what? A lot of people in North Shore Telemark are, there's like a lot of experience there. A lot of people are actually teachers, so they've got the teaching skills. They're certainly good enough to be instructors. Some of them have certifications, some of them have expired, various levels in that. But yeah, it's actually pretty awesome to be able to access that level of instructional kind of talent for really low barrier to entry. Like, the VOC Telly Day just cost the price of a discounted lift ticket. And anywhere else in North America, like, I was driving hours to go to the States to, like, get Telly instruction and stuff and paying tons of money for it. You know what I mean? And here it's pretty accessible. But on the instruction note, yeah, we're shout out to Tom for organizing some instructor courses for this year. So myself and a bunch of other people are going to be level 1 certified. There's through CANSI, which is the Nordic instructional kind of body in Canada.
And this is Telly specific.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So there's the Alpine side, but then CANSI does Nordic, and then they also do Telemark certification. Mostly run out of Panorama. But yeah, so we're doing level 1s, we're doing refreshers, we're doing a level 3 as well for the Triple Dan Black Belt Telly experts out there. Certainly not myself. Yeah, so that stuff's going to be happening in January right before the Telly Day. So everyone's going to be nice and refreshed for that.
That's sweet. So is the Telemark School distinct from Telly Tuesdays?
Yeah, I guess so. Just like one of many events that we do. Like, I think the VOC has been running the Telly Day for like decades.
I've seen it around since I've been here.
Which
hasn't been decades.
I think it's been like almost every year for many, many years. I don't know the history that well, but a long time. Yeah, the VOC's got some Telly history. Like, whoever pioneered the spearhead and stuff back in the day would have done it on Telly skis.
No kidding. Yeah, so, okay, I'll get your opinion on something. There's a lot of intro to backcountry interest these days, and that is sweet. The VOC loves putting people on Telemark skis who have never been backcountry, never touched an AT setup, let alone, some of them never touched an Alpine setup, and they send them out on Tellys. What do you think about that?
I think it's pretty bold. And you know what, though? Like, shout out to the people who sign up for that.
Like, I think, like, some of them don't know even what they're signing up for.
Yeah.
It's just like, here's these skis.
Fair enough, yeah. It's VOC vibe a little bit. But, no, you know what? It's cool. I think it will deter a lot of people. A lot of people will do it. Maybe won't continue with it, but that's okay. They're being good sports about it. But for some people, it sticks. So, yeah, like, I definitely know some people that have stuck with it since then, and some people started, you know, there's obviously the people who are, I guess, legacy telly kids who started because their parents did or something. But then there's also people who start from that and then they've stuck with it forever. So there's a ton of really, really accomplished telly skiers who've come through the VOC who are doing really impressive backcountry type stuff on telly skis. It's pretty wild. Shout out to Declan Taylor. Like, it's wild. Like, I, when, you know, with the North Shore Telemark stuff, I expected to find older fellas who were really good at Telemark. I didn't expect to find so many young folk who were also really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sweet. You kind of found a group here of younger folks. What's the gender balance like?
Overwhelmingly male, okay. Unfortunately. So that's something that I also think we should try and change. I think in other communities, a little bit less so, for whatever reason. In other communities in Colorado and also in Eastern Canada, I think there's more of an appeal for female identifying populations. And I think, and again, that might just be because it's different appeal. Which I think is really cool. Like, it's just like, this is more of like by us, for us vibe, which is really neat. Around here, I haven't seen as much of that. There certainly are some female shredders for sure. But it seems like for whatever reason, like there's like kind of pockets here and there, like in Colorado and then also in like southeastern Quebec and then the northeast and in the States where there's a bit, you know, a bit more female representation there. But I will admit, like, Telemark is overwhelmingly white and overwhelmingly male. And that's something that we, you know, even just pragmatically, you need to change if you want to grow your sport, like, in this space.
Cool. Yeah, speaking of growth, what kind of plans for the future does the group have?
Yeah, it's a great question. So there's a couple things that we've talked about, and it's just a matter of, you know, everyone's busy and has lives and stuff like that, too, and we're all just doing this on the side of our desk. But we talked about a tele library to make it more accessible.
Right, yeah.
Kind of going beyond the VOC museum and then also rentals and stuff that's available. That's more of a stretch goal. We're not sure how practical that would be necessarily. It might just be better to point people in the direction of those pre-existing resources. The other thing that we've thought about is memberships to get group discounts to local mountains and stuff like that on lift tickets, and then also group rates on instruction and stuff like that too. Right now we're still at that phase where we're just trying to like build that community and make those connections in between pre-existing things, but there's definitely, you know, an appetite to scale more in the future and formalize the organization a little bit. Obviously, you know, the bigger the organization, the more overhead, the more bureaucracy, the slower the things get. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we want to make it practical as well. But, you know, if we keep growing at this rate, like, I don't know, we're legit growing exponentially at this point. Like, I started that Facebook group 2 years ago, and there's like 206 people in it as of today or something, and it just keeps going up. So,
big time. So is Facebook the best place for people to keep up to date? Facebook and Instagram?
Yeah, so Facebook, North Shore Telemark, Instagram, also North Shore Telemark. There's a WhatsApp group. If you're local, you can subscribe to the iCalendar as well. And those are probably the best ways to reach us and stuff. A bunch of members are always, you know, doing kind of media and publications in various parts of the telesphere. It's a pretty tight-knit community. Like, once you're in it and follow a couple of Facebook groups or publications, like, you'll start to recognize some people. But yeah, that's kind of the best way to follow us is Facebook and Instagram. You know, whatever floats your boat sort of deal.
Cool. Yeah, and do you guys ever have a need for people to help out? Like, if anyone's jonesing to be part of a bigger thing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're always trying to grow the group. If you ever want to get involved, feel free to reach out to me personally on Facebook or Instagram or really any of us. And we're always looking for help with this kind of stuff.
Okay, nice.
It's been really awesome. Like, you know, not only is there a ton of interest in some of the events, but also just like the tele school. Like I said, the amount of people who are interested in instructing is actually incredible. So you don't need, and I really want to impress that you don't need to be good. You don't need to be, you know, you
hear it here first.
Yeah, you don't need to, like, it's fun just being part of anything. And especially if it's something as extra esoteric like this. Mm-hmm. And we really try and make it as accessible as possible. We go as fast as the slowest person. And that's really the whole jam. Like, mm-hmm. you don't need to be like a super like shreddy telemark skier with all your core credentials or whatever. You know what I mean? We're trying to make it as open and accessible as possible.
Sweet. That's great. Okay, well, we've got some time for another song here, and then I think we'll wrap it up, remind people where to buy tickets, how to buy tickets, things like that. So what's the second song you've got for us?
Right on. So I better pronounce this correctly.
Okay.
So this is a song by Maddie, Matthew Tavares, formerly of Bad Bad Not Good. So I believe that he left in 2021. He used to play keys for them. And now he's got quite a few producer credentials in a bunch of spaces. So he's really going off and doing his own thing. This particular album was, I guess he was trying to get back in touch with his Latin roots a little bit more. And this song is the title track off the album called, I'm going to try and pronounce this right, Ace O Homem. And it's a real, I think it's a really neat song. Definitely check out Maddie's stuff. Very prolific. Lots of cool stuff in that space. And all of his neat producer credentials as well.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What's this Pilate? He fiddled while...
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on Sunday.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? Need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. we'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
Welcome back to Outdoor Pursuits. We're here with Jade and Rory, and this is CITR 101.9 FM. We just finished chatting about zines, because this was a word you used early on, and I didn't want to ask because I thought maybe it's something I should know. But it's a small magazine.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's definitionally, I guess it's like a small DIY magazine. Usually done by subscriptions and stuff. If it's still going on at the Vancouver Art Gallery, definitely go check out their zine exhibit. They've got a really pretty crazy collection of stuff going back to like the 70s and 80s. It's a really interesting art medium. Definitely an NSFW like kind of exhibit, but worth checking out. And then by the time you get to the end, there's actually a library of local zines and stuff like that. But yeah, so Telecolo is making zines to go with their movie launches. I think they're at 3 or 4 now. But yeah, it's just a really cool DIY medium, like low barrier to entry, and it's all about kind of like grassroots, like, you know, communication with your community.
That's great. Yeah. So how many copies of the zine could we expect at the old mill?
Oh, so I think, so you can buy them in advance when you buy your ticket to the event. And you can also buy them there, but they're all limited to 100.
Oh,
so, yeah, you got to get
coveted.
Them again. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So remind us, November 16th at Valhalla Pier in Squamish, this old mill.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How do people buy tickets?
Eventbrite link. You can also find the Facebook event group as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's probably the best way to do it. It's on all of our socials.
Awesome. Okay. Well, hopefully I'll see you there. And
oh, yeah.
maybe other people who hear this will also join us.
Yeah, come on, come all.
Spread the stoke.
Yeah, even if you don't think you're telly curious yet, you might be after watching the movie.
Yeah. You don't know until you try. Free the heel, free the soul. Come one, come all. Yeah, thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
Yeah. Okay, and that about wraps it up here. Any last things, shout-outs?
Yeah, shout-out to CFXU 93.3 FM, The Fox, in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. great radio station.